Ever have that house growing up that you go to and you're always welcomed and it feels like the do drop-in house? And when I say that, I mean that there's always mass quantities of snacks and treats and drinks and anything at your disposal you could imagine. Well, that was my house growing up. And that was how my mom, Carol, liked to entertain people. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, you could come into our kitchen in Northeast Baltimore and always find a wide variety of treats. Crimpets and Vienna fingers and Gushers, Fritos, fruit by the foot, Doritos, you name it. Anything you wanted, we had. Which was kind of interesting growing up because we didn't have a lot of money, and I never understood how it never failed. We always had mass quantities of crap. You know, and that was what my mom lived for, entertaining, and she, you know, carried that on with her later on in life. She became an educator. She always had snacks, and then eventually, she became a grandmother and affectionately known as Noonie to my children and my sister's children. And the kids always knew that when Noonie came around, she was going to have treats. And vice versa. Anytime that we would go to my mom's place, we could always count on having lots and lots of treats. So, as my mom got older, we switched roles with taking care of her. She took care of us forever with entertaining and making sure we had things at our disposal. In the summertime, she liked to live up to what most educators do. They go to the doctor's appointments and all the things that we can't do during the regular school year. So my mom, as she got older, really struggled with rheumatoid arthritis, degenerative disc disease, and she had an autoimmune disorder. So she was pretty often going to appointments, and because she was having injections and infusions, a lot of times she couldn't drive herself. So my sister and I were often taking her to appointments. So one hot summer day, 2017, I was taking her to have an injection for her back. And we made it to the doctor's appointment, had my six-year-old in tow with us, and everything went great. And then we got back to her apartment, and like no other day, we realized that we were famished and so, so hungry. So I did what I would normally do when I got to her place, and I walked into the kitchen, and true to form, she had mass quantities of crap everywhere on the counters. There were baked goods and pies and cookies and chips and pretzels. Anything you wanted, Noonie had. So I'm starving, and I quickly survey the countertop. And I call back out to her in the other room, and I say, "Hey, can I have something that's out here?" And she said to me, "Sure, sweetie. Help yourself to whatever you want." So I zoned in on a very large bag of chocolate chip cookies, and I started to eat them. Like, there was, like, no time left, and I ate it very quickly and thought, this is the best chocolate chip cookie I have ever had. And if you knew my mom, everything was the best whatever she had ever had for a treat. So I started eating this cookie, and I eat the other one very quickly. I'm starving at this point. We've been out all day. So I walk into the other room, and I start to eat the third cookie. And she stares at me with these big, shocked eyes. And I looked at her, and I said, "What?" And she looked at me, and she said, "Those cookies?" And I paused and felt all the blood drain from my face. And I said, "Yeah, why?" She, again, very hesitantly said, "Those are Aunt Marty's cookies." Aunt Marty was affectionately known as Aunt Party to my sisters and I growing up. because she was my mom's pothead sister who grew cannabis in her backyard and made cannabis butter, which, guess what she made into? Chocolate chip cookies. So I lost my shit at this point because I'm standing there with my six-year-old son and my mother, and I realize, oh my God, I have just eaten 2.5 very large cookies. So she looks at me, and knowing that she's staring at her type A firstborn, straight-laced daughter to the core, she says, oh, it's probably fine. They're so baked down. You'll be all right. I looked at her, and I thought in my head, I'm not going to be fine. And I looked at her. I said, Mom, I still have to go and pick up Graham from preschool. I'm high. I can't do this. And she looked at me very patiently and said, Lar, it's going to be fine. You're going to be okay. So knowing that my mother wasn't fazed by anything, I mean, this is a woman that popped pain pills like they were Tic Tacs and was not fazed by any kind of treatment that she had, was relying on these cookies to help her out, to take away the pain. But in that moment, she realized that nothing she would say to me would take away from the pain of her 35-year-old daughter being high for the very first time. So she tried to calm me down, and I said, okay, I can do this. I can do this. So I get my six-year-old in the car, and I drive down to my two-year-old's preschool. And by the time I got to the preschool, I thought, okay, I'm feeling kind of good. Maybe I can do Aunt Party's cookies more often. So I walk in, and I get my son, and I put him in the car with my six-year-old, and we start the trip home. And I had told my mother before I left there, I said, look, I know I'm supposed to be taking care of you today, but if something happens, I'm calling you. And I know that you can't drive, but you're going to have to come and take care of me. So we start to make the trip uphill and road. And in that moment, I can describe to you what felt like the scene from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory when they're in the boat and they see all the bright colors and all the flashing lights and everything is super, super fast. I was fucking high. So I picked up the phone and I called Carol and I said, well, you've done it. I'm done. You got to come and get me. So she said, all right, I'll come and get you. So she did. God love her. Couldn't drive, but she came and she got me. And we drove home to my house, which is about a half-hour drive from where we were in Northeast Baltimore at the time. So we get home. By the time my husband had got home, I was passed out on the couch. And he looked at my mom because he knew she wasn't supposed to be there and said to her, what's up with her? And she said, oh, she's just high. End of story, no questions asked. Fast forward into 5 years later, totally different scene. We were at my mom's funeral. She had died very tragically and unfortunately, unexpectedly, due to COVID. But my mom was the type of person that treated everyone with kindness, and she always made sure that she treated everybody with her treats in many different ways and forms. So we thought, okay, we're gonna honor her this way in the funeral. So we had a treat bar where everybody could come and get treats. And then in her casket, we made sure to have all of her favorite things. Not Aunt Marty's cookies. But we had, you know, moon pies and Twizzlers and cowtails. Those were her favorites. And then even at the end, we managed to have a Miss Twist ice cream truck because she would tell you that vanilla soft serve ice cream was her favorite thing, the best thing ever. So we made sure that we treated everyone that day with kindness, and in our hearts today, we still make sure that we're always treating our own children and family members and friends with the love and kindness that she gave to us. You know, affectionately known as Carol, Noonie, or personally to me as Mom. Thanks for listening. Oh, and I also have treats that I'm going to share with the audience. So I'm going to start them here because that's what Carol would have wanted.